you doctor this up even more?
No, this is not the wobbly Cleveland Browns. This is one that's called squirrely. Basically, it slows down, speeds up. You know, a squirrel, the way it runs across the...
Oh, yeah, sure.
It gets halfway. Oh, I'm not going to go. I'm going to go. Yes, I'm going to go. I'm going to go. And he goes. That's kind of the...
Kind of like how the Browns played yesterday.
Well, you know, it was like good, bad, bad. Scott Petrek joins us from the Chronicle Telegram this morning. Good morning, Scott. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Usually, sometimes after a Browns loss, I'll get a head cold. Or the next day, I don't feel too well. But I have to say, and Craig's and I are a little disagreement, there are years and seasons where you watch a Browns game and you just get annoyed because how unentertaining it is. This season, it's been entertaining. We're 1-2. We have to wait till the end of the game to see who wins. But so I'm a little bit more optimistic than maybe Craig is this morning. Where do you feel, have you know, covering the Browns for many years? I mean, doing the reporting on it so far this season.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're more entertaining. I mean, you can't ask for much more than last-second field goal with 3 seconds left, last-second field goal to start the year. I mean, that should keep your interest. You know what? Yesterday, obviously, was a game that they should have won. In my opinion, they had plenty of opportunities where if they make one play maybe 10 or 12 times, they win the game. And I think the difference between this Browns team and Browns teams in the past is it used to be one play. You could point your finger at one play and say, oh, that's why they lost, if they had made this play. Well, I think yesterday it was several plays, and I think in some way that's a sign of progress, that it takes more than just one play to do them now. It takes 10 or 12 plays. It's still frustrating that they weren't able to make any of those key plays, because if you're 2-1 at the bye, the amount of momentum they would have had would have been ridiculous. The schedule gets easy for a stretch after the bye. I think the way the city and the team would have felt would have been really fun to be around if they had won yesterday and they had all those chances. But I do think that they're heading in the right direction, even though it's a really tough loss to deal with.
Scott, can you take us through the Johnny Manziel play? What was were you surprised to see how it kind of played out?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a trick play. It'll be interesting to see how and when they use Johnny the rest of the year, if they do, just because Brian's playing so well, Brian Hoyer. But on that particular play, they used him for one play, handed the ball off, and then it looked like he was going to run off. That was his one play. And then he gets near the sideline, and he kind of acts like he's mad that he's being taken out of the game. But the whole intention was to fool the Ravens, and he was going to stay on the field. Hoyer hurried up, got the snap. Johnny took off. The coaches told him to go, and he took off. And they hit him for what would have been like a 39-yard completion. The problem was running back Terrence West never got set, so it was an illegal shift, and the play came back. Where it gets really kind of confusing slash interesting is between the 32-yard lines. If you're going towards your bench, it's called the bench designated bench area, and it's between the 32s. And if you're going off the field or coming on, you can't hide close to your bench. You have to be 5 yards in. That's the NFL rule. And the reason it's only between the 32s is because that's where the rest of the team is. So if you're looking over there, maybe you couldn't tell if a guy's inbounds or out of bounds. So Johnny was right next to the sideline. He was within a foot or a yard. So he should have been flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct. But it didn't happen. And if it would have, if Terrence West hadn't been moving and he had flagged for something else, then we would have had a bit of a controversy because it would have been a big play for the Browns and involved Johnny Manziel. The officials missed it, and they would have gotten it wrong, and then the Browns would have gotten it wrong because, they put the play in on purpose, thought it was legal, and it wasn't legal. So, there's a lot of layers there, but they shouldn't have run a play from the yard line they did, which is like the 38 or something, because you can't deceive the team like that. I know it's a trick play, but the league doesn't let you do it between those yard lines just because it's impossible for the other team to tell if you're on the field or not.
Maybe they'll come up with the Johnny Manziel rule that they could put into the, and he could have another. Of course, they maybe have to ask if he has clearance to use his name in such.
Trademark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. But, well, it had opportunities, and as you mentioned, and there were many times where we thought if we had just put our, you know, put them away, we would have been okay. But yet we were still given opportunities. There was like three opportunities at the end where I thought, you know, we still had a chance, but it just didn't come out. And as you say, the blame can go all around, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the first thing that jumps out is if you make one of those two field goals, those are 3 points that would have been huge. The first one was a low snap, which Billy kind of the kicker said affected the timing. And then, you know, he didn't make the field goal. It hit the left upright from 50 yards. The next field goal, which you only needed a field goal because receiver Taylor Gabriel fell down trying to catch the ball. If he stays on his feet for a good throw, it's a 79-yard touchdown, and I think the Browns win the game. They'd be up 10 points or 11 points with 10 minutes left, and they win the game. But he falls down, gets tackled on the 9. There's a bunch of mishaps on that series. And then Cundiff has a 36-yard field goal block. So you don't get the touchdown. You don't get the 3 more points. And when you keep, you know, a team like Baltimore is a good team, and you let them hang around, you know, you have to make one of those plays to knock them out. And then the Browns had other chances. You know, Justin Gilbert gets called for a pass interference that allows Baltimore to kick a field goal to get within one. Then the Browns get the ball back, and all they need is one first down. And they run it twice, sets up a 3rd and 7, and Hoyer, who played great, throws the ball a little bit behind Andrew Hawkins. He's not quite turned around yet. Hits him off the back shoulder, incompletion. If that's a first down, the game's over. The Browns take a knee 3 times. So many opportunities. And then even, you know, the defense could have gotten one extra stop at the end of the game. But Joe Hayden, their best cornerback, gives up a 32-yard completion to Steve Smith, and that sets up the field goal. So any of those opportunities go the Browns' way, and I think they win the game.
You know, there are a lot of good teams around the league that are 1-2, so we have good company as we get into week 3. Of course, we're going to have to sit on this loss for 2 weeks with that. I've noticed you mentioned about if a player is wide open and they get their knees go weak or something, because there's several times this season where the player's been wide open and they catch a pass and the next thing they do is they fall down. I don't know what that is. There's just something about that. You see that happening. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I think part of it is they're trying to make sure they have the catch, right? And, you know, I mean, which is more important, you don't want them dropping the ball and trying to get a touchdown. But the Andrew Hawkins play at the end of the Saints game, that was different. All the Browns needed was a field goal there. The game's over. He's kind of turned the wrong way. The ball's out in front of him, and he's a rookie, so maybe cut him a little slack for that, and it was windy. Maybe that played a role. But the fact is he kind of stops his feet and then has to restart, and that's why he has to dive. You kind of have to, as an athlete, keep your feet moving, and then if you need to step, you know, if you need to take another step, then you catch the ball in stride. If you need to back up, you catch the ball. But he stopped, dived, and then had to get up again. So it was just a goofy play, and, you know, if the Browns had scored, which is not out of the question there on the 9-yard line, then it's no big deal. But the fact that they didn't get the touchdown and then had the field goal blocked, you know, it winds up being a huge play in the game.
Scott, we've now had 2 regular season games at the renovated First Energy Field. Do you feel, is there a difference? Can you feel it?
You know what, it's tough for me because the press box is, it's not soundproof, but you can't hear as much as maybe you'd like to hear. But it's been loud. I know I've talked to people who've been in the stands, and they say it feels louder. And I think that's natural when you kind of enclosed stadium, you know, and that's what they did. Those big scoreboards and their signage next to the scoreboards, you know, there's not a whole lot of open area anymore, which should make it louder. And the first 2 games, you get the most crowd before LeBron's, at least in history, have lost. There's a lot of fans there, and there's been a lot of fans there the last 2 games, and they have been loud. And I think you've been able to notice from the way Drew Brees was rattled. And yesterday, even the defense was talking about how the defense struggled with the substitution. They got called for too many men on the field a couple times. they had to waste some timeouts, and they actually said part of that's because it's loud and it's a tough time hearing what the coaches are calling and what substitution package they want in the game.
We are on a bye week. What can we expect over these next 2 weeks? How is it going to benefit the Browns?
Well, you know, it's a bad time to have a bye week just because it's too early. And, I mean, there's a lot of teams in the league that start their byes this week. I think a coach would prefer more in the middle of the season. You guys would beat up a little more. The Browns are healthy, so the extra week isn't helping them. They'll practice. They'll try to fix things. Like, one of the things they'll try to fix is the run defense. It has not been up to standard, and I think that as a defensive coach, that's something Mike Pettine will be upset about and will focus on. They have, they had a lot of penalties yesterday. I think they'll work on trying to fix that. In the substitution I mentioned on defense, so you can't have that. You can't be wasting timeouts on defense, and they needed them yesterday. Instead of Baltimore being able to kill the clock at the end, maybe the Browns call a couple timeouts, force a field goal, and get the ball back and have a chance to go down and win the game again. So you just can't have those kind of mental mistakes or procedural mistakes. So those are things to work on. The players will get some time off, because then you got to come back and you got 13 more games when you get back, and it's a grind. So the Browns have to be prepared for that. It would have been nice to go in 2-1. I really think then just the energy would have been phenomenal. But fans can take solace in the fact that the schedule really gets easy here for a little bit, and the Browns have a chance to pick up some ground and really stay relevant. They play Tennessee and Oakland and Jacksonville and Tampa Bay, teams that aren't great. They get Pittsburgh at home. So there's a chance for the Browns to get on a little bit of a roll here and really make this season interesting.
Well, we have what we have. We can't change it, but we'll see how things come up. And with the time off, maybe some of the people who are ailing can get back on the field, and we can be a little bit stronger that way too. We'll talk again, Scott. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, Jeff.
Scott Petrarch at the Chronicle-Telegram, Browns beat reporter here on WEOL.